Good evening, brethren. Indeed, it is good that we can come to the house of the Lord this evening to seek the Lord in prayer and also to study His Word. Let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks and praise. Even for this cold evening, we can gather in Thy name to pray one for another and to pray for the needs of the church. Lord, as we open Thy Word, we pray for understanding from Thee, that indeed we can draw nigh to Thee, Lord, by reading Thy Word and meditating on Thy Word. Bless us, Lord, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This evening we're going to look at Psalm 113. It's a very short psalm written by David, King David. And there's only 9 verses. Let us read this psalm responsively. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Of and forevermore. Verse 3. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised.
The Lord is high above all nations.
Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high?
Who humbleth himself and beholdeth the things that are in heaven and in the earth.
He raised up the poor out of the dust, and lifted the needy out of the dunghill.
That he may say, even with the princes, even with the princes of his people.
He maketh the barren woman to keep house, and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. This hymn, as Pastor wrote in his weekly prayer list, he summarized it as, pray that worshippers would contemplate God's greatness, majesty, and goodness to poor, helpless sinners like us. This psalm, these 3 psalms actually, from Psalm 111 to 113, begin by praising the Lord. But Psalm 113 also begin and end by praising the Lord. So the theme of this psalm is we should always praise God because He's great and He's gracious to the helpless person that call on Him. We should get a right perspective of God. J.B. Phillips, an English Bible scholar, puts it this way. It is safe to say that many of our troubles in the Christian life stem from the fact that God is very small. We need to get a biblical view of God, high, that God is high and exalted. If that is our only view of God given to us in the Bible, then we would rightfully fear to draw nigh to God. Because if our God is so small, we would not be close to God. We should take this position that our God is mighty. He is great. We are weak. He is holy, but we are unholy. We are sinful. He knows everything. We are limited in our knowledge. We are very limited. He is eternal and not subject to death. But we are time-bound and very vulnerable to accidents and death. There are 3 points we can look at in this psalm. The first point is the call to praise the Lord. His servants are to praise Him at all times. That's from verses 1 to 3. The second point is we praise God because He is great. Verses 4 to 5. And the third point is we praise God because He is gracious. From verses 6 to 9. Let's look at the first point. The call to praise the Lord, the word praise is used 3 times in quick succession. Secondly, the word Lord is also employed in close association with the call to praise. Actually, we need to stir up when we praise the Lord. We need to stir ourselves up. Praising God should actually come very naturally, because we are created to praise the Lord. And often we disregard His glory and His majesty. We do not want to behave like a non-believer who has no regards for God. You can imagine a non-believer, they got no understanding of God. They got no appreciation of the might of God. So he has no regard for God. As some, if you turn to Psalm chapter 10 verse 4, it says, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. They say that there's a day for those who don't believe in God. It's April Fool's Day. That's the day when the non-believers celebrate because they don't believe in God. So April Fool is meant for them. As a child of God, if you do not praise Him often enough or fervently enough, it's probably true you're not enjoying Him enough. Don't you think it's true? I think if we lose that fellowship with our brethren and we don't draw nigh to God, we can lose, you know, our warm, our affection to God. If we delight in a beautiful sunset, let's say if you appreciate sunset, we want to extol it. We want to tell others about the beauty of the sunset. It will overflow our praises when we describe things, even like a sunset. Our enjoyment of who God is and what He has done for us will also erupt in heartfelt praise. Every time when we come to the Lord's house on the Lord's Day, we should praise Him wholeheartedly, not half-heartedly, and not with a sour face or something. We can praise the Lord if it is not anyone but those that are His servants. Those are bought by the price of God. We call ourselves saints. We are purchased by the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we can praise Him. He's the ultimate gift that God gave us. So we should praise Him. We are bought with a price. There's a whole list of servants. When you look at the Old Testament, the priests, the prophets, to name a few. Then you've got pastors, teachers in the New Testament, missionaries, to name a few. In verse 3, from the rising of the sun to the sun setting, means when one wake up in the morning, when you see the sun, when the sun comes up, or the sun rays, can you imagine the beauty, and whether the sun is shining or not, even though it's a rainy day, there's light around. We should be very thankful to the Lord that there is morning, there's afternoon, and there's evening. To it's going down means when the sun set, what it means is even when we retire for the day, we should be thankful. The heart should be still focusing on praising God. Even though we have a bad day in our office or we may have a tough day, but when we see the beginning of the day and the end of the day and the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, we should thank God for this marvelous, wonderful act of His, the Creator that creates morning and night and day. The second point is we praise God because He's great. The Lord is above all nations. In verse 4 it says, the Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. I just looked through Google the other day. Actually, there's about 120 nations on this earth. And there are some countries that are very rich and some very powerful. And I'm sure we know which countries are very rich through history. Today, America, Russia, China, they are very rich countries, powerful countries, the European bloc countries, Germany. Imagine America sent the first spaceman, first person to walk on the moon is an American. Who is the first astronaut? A Russian. Right? All these men's glory. They achieve great things. But the Lord is high above all these nations. What man achieves is nothing. But the Lord is, He's a creator. And His glory is above the heavens by virtue of being our Creator God and being the Lord. The greatest glory is found in the Lord God. And if we compare, if comparison is made between the glory of the nations and that of the Lord, it will be obvious that God's glory surpasses everything. We can't match, even no matter how brilliant we are, how creative we are, we can't match the creation of God. The Lord rules over the entirety of His creation. It points to His absolute sovereignty. That's how great our God is. And briefly, let's look at the third point. The third point is from verses 6 to 9. Verse 6, it says, "Who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth." In verse 6, who humbled himself actually? Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He came down from glory to die for us on the cross of Calvary, He left the glory of heaven for sinners like us. I mean, when we think of this, what a wonderful Savior we have. I mean, if any human beings have a very glorious position in life, they will not come down to a level of, you know, suffering and dying for you. But our great God, our Lord Jesus Christ, did that. He left the glory of heaven to come to us. And in the Old Testament days, it talks about Aaron in verse 9. People who are barren in those days, they feel that they have been let down. You virtually have to cry out to the Lord if you're barren. Because you may remember Abraham's wife, Sarah, took a long time to conceive. She was 90 when she conceived. And Abraham was 100 years old. This is unheard of in our society today. No one gives birth at 90. And Abraham was 100. Also, Hannah was barren, but cried to the Lord. The Lord gave her Samuel, who became the great prophet. Because in those days, there's no IVF, there's no medical standards that high for childless couples to look forward to having children. But they have to trust the Lord. They cry to the Lord. The lesson we can learn here is when we are helpless, down and out, we call upon the Lord to be gracious to us. We cannot save ourselves by our own strength or efforts. Salvation is totally of the Lord. He doesn't save those who are righteous or those who are strong. But He saves sinners, people like us. In verse 7 it says, "He raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted the needy out of the dunghill." Sometimes we have to look at ourselves. We are all sinners saved by grace. We can't save ourselves. So salvation is totally of the Lord. And He saves sinners who are weak in themselves, but who cry out to Him for mercy. I'm sure when we look back at our own lives, we do not deserve to be saved. But by His grace and mercy, He saves us. So in conclusion, when we cry to Him in your spiritual barrenness, we pray that He will fill us with His joy. In weakness, rely on His strength. Praise His name from this time forth and forever. Whatever we have is from the Lord. This is a wonderful psalm. I know I've just skimmed through all these verses, but I think there's wonderful lessons we can learn, even from 9 verses in this psalm, that we should be praising the Lord from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. And what we have is all from the Lord. Even salvation, we were all doomed, heading towards hell, but God saved us. So in conclusion, all I can say is we really have to thank God for what we are today, or what we have in life. It's all from our great God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we just thank Thee for this wonderful psalm, Lord, that we have looked through. Teach us, Lord, to always humble ourselves, Lord. All we have, our total being, Lord, is from Thee. Whatever we have, Lord, is from Thy loving hands. Teach us to be grateful people, Lord. For whatever we have, Lord, is Yours. Bless us, Lord, as we look at the prayer items, as we continue to pray for our brethren later on this evening. We pray and ask all this in Christ's most precious and holy name. Amen.